In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, will we witness the elimination of the greatest dynasty of our generation? Can Fort Worth Christian establish themselves as top dogs in Division II? Will Claudio Torres and St. Joseph shock the world? Can TWCA get one back where it matters? And Legacy has a chance to solidify Northern dominance in Division I? All this and more in the Round 2 preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott, my other third of our co-host, joins from College Station, Texas. And the final third, Ryan Schroeder, back from his break, is joining us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not really a break when you're working like the rest of us are. Mr. Walker Lott, you first. Yep. A very, very fun week in private school football, but now we are not recapping. We're looking forward to the second round where we have a ton of really, really fun matchups. What are you thinking about the slate?
It's good. Very good slate. Like I said last week on the episode that we just posted, it is going to be a pretty good week, round two slate. A lot of big time games and a lot of divisions. So very excited to talk about them.
Mr. Ryan Schroeder, thank you for being back on the program. We have a fantastic week on tap. Very excited for all these games. I'm curious to hear your thoughts and how you're doing in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry to all of those that are seeing me miss episodes. For some reason, the NBA plays two every 2 days. So just kind of how it works.
Crazy.
No, it's a crazy concept. Because aren't you only supposed to play one time a week? And also, isn't it supposed to just be on Friday nights? And then you get on a space afterwards and you talk with all your buddies about how the games went. Isn't that supposed to be how it goes?
That is how sports should go, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, overall, it's been good. I'm really excited to get into these games. But yeah, I'll just go straight into this. I have been waiting to get all my gear. Obviously, of course, Walker and Wes have all this gear that they have, and all these hats and stuff. And I obviously don't have as many hats. I have one. I have a Lubbock Christian hat from way back in the day. But that's only my claim to fame. I have another box, which I hope I will not leak my address. So instead of leaking my address and getting random mail,
if anyone wants to drive up to Oklahoma City, you should let them. Honestly, man, like
they could put it in the mail, dude. That's how that works. You could put it.
It's a good point.
But
don't do that, guys.
I also don't know how to open a box. So any guesses? The address. Fort Worth. So that's
Is it my alma mater?
I surely hope not. I would basically throw this away immediately. I didn't mean that. I don't know how to open a box.
Speaking of my alma mater, that is the one school I do not have a hat for. Let's change that, SES. Come on.
I don't have a Grace hat. I have a Grace polo, but that's from TXPS days.
I have a SES.
He unboxed it.
Visor. Here we go. Da-da.
It's the same hat that I've basically acquired at this point. Hey, you know what, folks? If you glaze hard enough, eventually they'll send you something in the mail. That's what I've learned on this podcast.
I hate that word so much. I cannot believe that is a word that kids use.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Thank you again to the Letterman's Club. Like we said, we are walking billboards for any of you that will send us apparel. Like I wear... There's an All Saints shirt and a Dallas Christian shirt, and there's another shirt that I wear to work on a regular basis because they're incredibly comfortable. Send us nice shirts. We will be walking billboards for your schools. That is how this works. I'm now seeing another line has been added to my script that says Walker Quiz. I don't know what that means. This was not discussed, and nope. I don't like it. But Walker, what does that mean?
It's very simple. Shout out to a player that I saw this put it on his own Twitter, and I'm just going to use this as a fun quiz because we have no other segments to do. We're going to talk through. You're going to guess the top five in taps in passing, rushing, and receiving. That's it. It's a little quiz I just saw someone do, and you're going to guess and use your big brains to see who is in the top five and all of these stats. Go when you want to. We can start with passing, I guess.
Sawyer Anderson.
The Clyburn effort.
Sawyer Anderson is number one. Yes.
Oh, is this a collaborative effort, or are we
Yeah,
going? I think we should work
very,
together.
very, very collab. Yes.
Because like, you'd probably do better than me. Let's
Doubtful.
say, is Quinn on there?
Quinn Murphy is number four.
Okay.
Gavin Parkhurst.
By the way, Gavin Parkhurst is number two, and I want to. You ready for this? So Sawyer's number one with 4,100. By the way, unreal. Ready? Number two, Gavin Parkhurst, 2,600. That's how best. That's how unreal Sawyer Anderson's senior year stat line has been. By the
Is
way,
he's about to break the record,
he already did.
right? He already did.
Yep.
He broke the record.
He is 4,100, 43 touchdowns and six interceptions. What a season. So
Okay.
Sawyer number one, Gavin number two, Quinn Murphy number four.
Luke Carney.
Luke Kearney is number 11. This is, by the way, this is for taps, and it's only on people who put their stats on Max Preps. So if you didn't, that's on you. Anyways, continue.
Okay.
Who else puts their stats on Max Preps? Is I Cannon Tune, I feel like, runs too much to be on the passing top
Oh,
five.
he is not on there, and I don't think Second Baptist usually puts their stats. Continue.
No, they don't.
Jack Devine.
Jack Devine is not in the is number 18, 1900, 27 and 10.
I'm just trying to think
Is
about this.
this top two or bottom two divisions?
Both are top two in the top five.
Is one of them one of the Brownsville quarterback?
Not on this, no. I don't see Cincy Rose. Cincy Rose is number 25. 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions, though.
And it's passing yards, obviously, right? Or
Just
all purpose.
passing. Just
Okay.
passing. Do you guys want some help?
Yeah, I'm gonna need some more help.
Number three is a Division One school quarterback.
Division one.
You both have seen him live.
Oh, it's TJ Hobbs.
The other one.
Oh,
Luke Glass.
Luke
Yeah.
Glass. Oh
Yeah.
my God, I just sold. But
Does he really? Yeah,
that's one.
McClain has got McClain and French Love and all them have, and Enzo Bingham have actually gone off. I should have thought about that.
2,400, and you ready for this? If this is correct, that's crazy. 26 touchdowns, one interception. What a year
Whoa,
for
that
Luke
is
Glass.
nuts. Oh, that's
Now,
insane.
number five
And
is the tricky one. It's going to take y'all some time.
is it D2 or D1?
D2 North.
District one.
Sure. Midland
Yes
quarterback?
or no?
Also, is it
Okay.
the Midland quarterback?
No.
It's not
Avery.
Midland, All Saints. We already said Parkhurst.
Oh, is it Gigliotta?
No, he is number 14.
Is it the Grapevine Faith quarterback?
It is the Grapevine Faith. What's
Well, I
his
don't know his
name?
name. I do
Oh,
not know his name.
it's Cosby. I was gonna say him, but I thought he was still in District 2 with Grayson there.
No, 2,300 and 26 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
There we go.
But number six, Carter Devereaux. Number seven, shout out Gibby Alvarado. And
Oh,
then
that one should have been a guess off
number
the top of
eight,
his head.
Santiago Fernandez. Number nine, Jacob Raspberry from Austin Hill Country. Shout out to him. And number 10, the sophomore Nico Anderson. All right. Rushing yards. There's number two. Don't know who this is, truly, and he's from El Paso. So I'm gonna not count him because he probably does not listen to us. So
Okay.
there's five. Name me the five in rushing yards and taps.
Chase Garnett.
He is not on here. He's number 11. Remember, he has hurt for a couple games.
Yeah, it's true.
What's the
Shoot.
Prestonwood running back's name?
There's Caden Collins, Tekashi Shaw, and LJ Taylor.
LJ Taylor is number 15. Tekashi Shaw is number 23.
Okay.
Parrish is Mark Hanish isn't going to be on there, I don't think.
Not in the top 20, no.
No. Langston Davis.
Number 29, by the way. Langston Davis. Don't see the name. Keep going.
I second maps to do their stats. I keep forgetting that. Claudio Torres. Claudio Torres. No, it's yeah.
Claudio Torres, number three, or technically number two, because the El Paso guy is number two.
Yeah.
Claudio Torres, number two, with
Oh.
1,729 touchdowns.
What's the First Baptist kid's name?
He is not on here.
Mark Grayson.
Yeah. No.
They have a lot of guys run the ball. I'm
Yeah.
gonna say,
The
is
number one.
Parkhurst on this list for rushing?
No,
Is
not in the.
Cole Pal Freeman?
Cole Pal Freeman is not. Santiago Fernandez, by the way, number eight. Shout out to him. I think he's the highest quarterback on the list.
That's nuts.
Is there a DC kid?
He number the DC kid is number 7, Titus Mews.
Oh,
Jesus. I don't know.
Burkhalter Jr. from Covenant.
He's not on here now. You, Wes, you have seen number 1, number 4, technically, and number 5.
I've seen a lot of kids this season.
All three of these. Oh, no, you haven't seen number 4. I've seen number 4. You've seen number 1 and number 5, though, in the past couple weeks.
And by the way, when I'm looking at my computer, I'm looking at team. I'm looking at our brackets with the teams on them so I can jog my memory. I'm not looking at players or else this would have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, all. I'll give you number 4 because you're not. It's a team from Arlington.
It's the Oak Ridge running back.
Nope.
Oak Ridge SBC. So it's Grace Prep kid.
Yep. What's his name?
Jalen Talton.
Nope. Good one.
I'm too far.
I actually don't know his name. Oh wait, stop. I know what he looks like. I took a picture of him jumping in the air. What's his name?
Bryce Prince.
Bryce Prince. I was gonna say Bryce Butler, and I knew that was the Second Baptist kid.
So that's number 3. Number 4 is from San Antonio.
Is it the Cornerstone Kids count?
No.
You said I've seen 4.
Yeah, you've seen 5. You haven't seen 4. I've seen 4.
Okay, but I haven't seen San Antonio.
Is it an Antonian kid?
Oh, Mikey Moreno.
Yes, Mikey Moreno. 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns. Shout out to him.
And then we haven't listed number 1.
We haven't listed number 1 or number 5 technically.
What divisions are they in?
D3 and D1.
What's
is
the
number
back?
1 D1?
Nope.
Number 1's D3. Oh,
is it the Holy Cross kid?
No. Wes, you saw him like last week, my guy.
Is it the Shelton kid?
Yes. What's
are
his
you,
name?
It's Ogden?
Oh my
yes.
God.
Ogden's number 1?
22.
Yeah, he is. I read it. He's got like 40
yes,
touchdowns.
You literally said
oh
it.
Oh my gosh.
2,200 yards and 35
fake
touchdowns.
Fake stat. I'm just kidding. It's not fake stats.
And number 6, and number 6 on this, but number 5 in this was a guy you literally saw last week, Wes.
It's Will Estes. Dadgummit. Well,
yep.
I got it eventually.
All right, yeah. I want to guess wide receiver real quick.
Yeah. By the way, Titus Mews at number 7, Santiago, the highest quarterback at number 8, Tristan Brown from Pantego, shout out to him, didn't know him, and Braden Jennings, the Brentwood quarterback, at number 10. Mm. All right, top 5 receivers. Should go
guess.
Pretty easily. Yes, number
I
go.
Have my guess. Jalen Pyle.
Jalen Pyle is number 5 on the list.
Can I guess the
with,
number 1 receiver?
With 19 touchdowns, by the way.
Can I guess the number 1 receiver at Holy Cross?
He is not in the top 11.
Nick,
I'm going to take
is?
A guess and say there's a parish receiver higher than Pyle.
Go for it.
Darby.
Yep, number 4. 1,100 yards. So it's 1,188 for Darby, 1,176 for Pyle.
Darby had like 280 and 4 touchdowns against Prestonwood when I watched him.
Yep.
Is this another crazy take? Is there another parish guy in the top 10?
He's in the top 11. Bryson
Fields.
Fields
Bryson
is at
Fields.
Bryson Fields is a number 11. 9
you don't
12.
You don't get the 4,000 yards without throwing 4,000 yards to receivers. So
yep.
100%. So I guess we now have to think of the quarterbacks that were on the list. I want to guess a Liberty, but like they all get so many touches. Janusek
is not in the top 10.
Hawkins.
Hawkins is number 12, 905. I think he's the highest Liberty guy.
Clemonte Williams.
Clemonte Williams is number 8 with 1,017 touchdowns.
Oh
I think
gosh.
he's number three on touchdowns, technically.
Bo Ellis.
Bo Ellis, number 13.
Come on.
Who's the other target besides Enzo on Prestonwood? McLean, technically.
Oh, Matthew McLean.
Matthew McLean is number 1 with 1,282 and 15 touchdowns.
Go on.
There you go.
Feel pretty good about that. All right. Let's see.
You need 2 and 3.
Hopefully
two,
not mentioned.
Wes, you've seen number
oh,
2.
Oh.
It's going to be an interesting thing, but you have to think about it for number 3.
Thomas for a Cannon Tunes receiver. What's his name?
Oh, Alan Thomas. Alan Thomas
Allen
probably
Thomas.
Is somewhere up here, but they don't do stats on Max Preps.
I've seen number 2.
He would 100% be up there. There's
you saw
no
him
doubt
week
in my
2
mind.
Or week 3, I think.
It's not, no. DC was around week three, but it wasn't DC.
No. I kind of thought this was going to be faster, but here we are.
Oh,
I'm trying.
what's one of the four with Christian kids they brought in? What's his name?
No. Keep going.
This is a Division One team for number two.
Now, Division Four. That
Oh.
gives it away.
Oh
First
God,
Becky kid?
it's Mark Grayson.
Nope.
No, Bradley Mays. Bradley Mays has more yards than Mark Grayson. Not
Number
Mark Grayson.
two.
I meant to say Caleb Mitchell.
Number two, Bradley Mays with 1,200 and the Taps leading 20 touchdowns.
Was
Jeez.
crazy. He's had a
Okay, what are you
nuts
missing?
season.
The number three, and you should know the name because we've definitely talked about him, but he is the receiver to a top five quarterback in taps and passing. He was the last guy you guessed. He's the Grapevine Faith receiver.
Bro,
Oh,
no, it's just sorry.
I took a headshot of him, didn't I?
You probably did, yeah. These kids don't.
What's his name?
Noah Smith.
I knew it was Noah. I knew it was Noah. I was gonna say Noah Thomas, and then I forgot it was an A&M receiver.
Noah Smith with 1,215 touchdowns. To round out the
There we
list,
go.
Bradley Channer from Geneva School of Bernie. Shout out to him. Claudio Torres gets the receiver as well at number seven, with 1,010 touchdowns. Braden Robinson, the superstar do-it-all for LSA, is number nine. And then finally, Aaron Morales, the junior wide receiver from Nolan Catholic, rounds out at number 10. Some
Okay,
interesting names. Caleb Mitchell, number 24. Quinn Brown, number 27. Blake
Hey, I'm
Smith, wow, is number 32. You would think he would be higher.
calling for Cannon and Allen to give us their stats so that we know where they sit because I think those are both pretty good guesses. But
Yeah.
I think we got to move it in the episode
I
now.
don't think
Yep.
either are top five, but
Allen's not top five.
I don't think he is.
All right.
I don't think Cannon
That's
Toon's
fine.
passed for over 2,000 yards. That's my guess. Anyway,
Regardless,
move on.
very, very fun section. We'll bring that back in some form or fashion before the season's over. But let us get into the five games to preview for this week. The first being Prestonwood versus Parrish. Parrish is a 9.5 point favorite. Gentlemen, our first marquee matchup of the playoffs is upon us. The first iteration of this contest saw Prestonwood narrowly escape at home with a 52-49 victory. LJ Taylor toted the rock 36 times for 221 yards. And Matthew McClain went for 187 yards receiving, where Carson Darby had 240 yards and four touchdowns in a career effort. I expect this game to be a lot of the same. The stars are not changing. Anderson, Darby, Pyle, Wheeler, Harwell, Taylor, McClain, Bingham. Those are the names. The question with Parrish has never been the offense. They gave up 580 total yards of offense to Prestonwood 3 weeks ago. I'm no mathematician, but you cannot win games doing that. You have to have a big game from Richardson, Sattler, and the rest of that front seven, because although Parrish is comfortable in a shootout, you have to have a game from this unit here. And I'll be honest, I'm still not sold. Last time that we talked about these teams, I said that I'll bet the five-time defending champions until I'm proven wrong. I was proven wrong. And a big part of that was I didn't want to take Prestonwood when they were so banged up at running back. Turns out they've got so many horses in the stable, it doesn't matter. I think this is about as close can get. I'm very wary to bet against guys, like the leading passer that Dallas Fort Worth has ever seen, Jalen Pyle, Carson Darby, the best passing unit I've ever seen in TXPS. But I got to take Prestonwood here. I think they're going to get it done yet again. Walker.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think the dynasty ends in Plano. Give me the Lions. Give me Prestonwood. I just don't think they have enough firepower, and I don't think they have enough dudes on defense to compete in this one. Give me the Lions.
Mr. Schroeder, how are you going to make it a three-way sweep?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny saying going into the season, I don't think I ever would have said, that we'd be sitting here at this point now because there was an argument that like Parrish was going to basically rival Liberty in some capacity. Obviously, we knew Liberty would be far and ahead, maybe number one, but we always thought Parrish was in that conversation. Prestonwood has had an incredible season this year, finishing very strong toward the end as well. In my head, right, Parrish only 8 points away from the Liberty game. All these games looked very close. Parrish is still a very high caliber team. But well, you know, when you get down the stretch here at this point, we've already seen the outcome of this game. But I don't know. We also saw it in person, and we also saw that it could have gone a couple different ways. We saw that Parrish shot themselves in the foot a little bit. I thought Parrish shoots himself in the foot a lot, especially against Legacy. So, with all that being said, going back and forth, I agree with Walker. The defense is not to the caliber it usually is. The offense is absolutely incredible. The defense is where they lack, especially some of these like the secondary type of situation. I just feel Preston Wood is just going to absolutely nail that home, and there'll be nothing that Parrish can do to stop that. So give me Preston Wood.
And games this close, I've said it a million times, that us all being on one side of that, I can already see the screenshots on Twitter now, but that is okay. That's what we are here for. Let us move down a division for Fort Worth All Saints versus Fort Worth Christian. No spread for this game. I get the sense that these two teams don't like each other very much. It might just be me, but in yet another rematch, All Saints and Fort Worth Christian will match up in Birdville. First time around, All Saints really dominated Fort Worth Christian, outgaining them 500 to 251, in large part because of Cole Powell Freeman's 169
Wow.
yards and Gavin Parkhurst's 107. That is essentially double the total yards Fort Worth Christian gave up in any other district contest. And we speak a lot about this Cardinals defense, but on the backs of Tucker Ashford and Adam Burns, but this offense is solid too, with a passing attack of Landon Gigliotta, Aiden Abercrombie, and Ghalie, and a ground game of junior running back Cason Anding and senior running back Zateon Harris. However, All Saints displays a wealth of talent of their own. Senior quarterback Gavin Parkhurst has emerged late as one of the best in his class. He has numerous weapons, including new Boise State commit Kamonte Williams and Hudson Rezor in the passing game, and Cole Powell Freeman on the ground, as well as his own elite ability to get it done with his legs. Significant credit has to be given to Ian Bothwell, Kwame Ose, Hudson Dalton, and the rest of the Saints line for paving the way. On the defensive side, the Saints average less than 14 points allowed per game in district play, largely due to the efforts of Dalton Knapp and Jacob Maynard. There's all your boring statistics. Here's the interesting piece. Fort Worth Christian are the great antagonizers, as we've seen. They play the heel, and they play it really dadgum well. All Saints has in the past been subject to falling into that trap. It's been said that it's never the first guy that gets caught. It's always he who retaliates. The question remains, can Fort Worth Christian goad All Saints off of their game? I think they can, but I don't think that's going to matter. I think All Saints is going to win this game regardless. I think Fort Worth Christian does have the ability to get under their skin. We've seen that's how they play. I'm going to be interested to see how that works out. I just think the talent differential, especially on offense, is much too stark. Gavin Parkhurst, it was explained to me at the SBC State Championship, what sets him apart from other guys is Parkhurst just straight up wins games. You know, there might be guys that are like a little more talented here or there. Parkhurst is could be the best winner in TXPS. And I know that's super cliche and it sounds dumb, but it's true. And spots like this are where you prove that against a team that you really don't like, that would love nothing more than to send you home before even the semifinals arrive. This is a legacy game for Gavin Parkhurst and All Saints, and far be it from me to bet against them in that spot. Walker, the Fort Worth native, two teams right down the street from you. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's so funny you thought about that. I would have to talk to our old good old pals at LSCSN, but if knock on wood for them, if All Saints wins, is Gavin Parkhurst the first player ever to win both SPC and TAPS titles? Just an interesting thought. But you're absolutely right. That dude's a winner, and he just finds ways to win. And even in a game like that, the first state championship he played in against John Cooper back in the day, even that he tried to will himself to a state championship then. It was just a too good of a John Cooper team. That's now getting off topic. On topic, you are absolutely right in that Fort Worth Christian, they play the heel. You saw it last week. Oh wow, what a goal by Tim Weah. Not the point. They play the heel. They got in the heads of Hyde Park last week. really well later in that game. Did some things that was kind of crazy after the game too. It's what they are. They like to talk smack, and usually they can back it up, right? Can they back it up this time? I think they'll get in four with Christian and All Saints' head, but the one head that will not be composed or compromised is Gavin Parker's. That man is going to find a way to win, and he's going to win big in this one. Give me All Saints. Give me by 2-3 scores. I think they dominate in this one. You know,
Ryan
last
Schroeder, we're feet going.
By the way, Tucker Ashford and Landon Gigliotta told me that they after picking Hyde Park last week, they were going to have a hat ready for me to sign, or they were going to sign a hat for me, like, you know, because I picked against them. Have that hat ready this week because I'm picking against you again.
Ryan Schroeder, we're feeding a lot of rat poison to All Saints right now. Are you going to perpetuate that trend?
I don't want to. I mean, I'm wearing the hat. I think that's really not a great sign of what's to come. No, but just to look at the last matchup, I think is really where I'm going to sit here at this point. Obviously, Fourth Christian did a great job of really limiting through the air for, you know, Parkers and company. Obviously, Clemonte Williams only caught one pass last time they faced. Probably 15 yards, and really it was the run game, like you said, that was the true problem. Obviously, the defensive line and offensive line, absolutely incredible at All Saints, and they have been over the years. They combined for 7.5 sacks last time they played Fourth Christian. All Saints has truly just been that the entire time we've known them, and to be honest, is one of the only schools where I've actually probably hyped up the offensive defensive line multiple times. I'm usually not a guy that hits on that as much because, as our good friend Greg Tepper says, I live too much in the skill positions. But with that being said, I do also feel like you said, Gavin Parkhurst owns Fort Worth in the capacity of private school football.
Yep.
Truly is the just ownership, everything when it comes to TVS and the SBC schools that he ran through, when it comes to now All Saints and the season that they're having this year, possibly rivaling. If Prestonwood beats Parrish, you can literally count All Saints as a top three team in private school, with it being, you know, Liberty, Prestonwood and themselves and all that. Like this team is truly up there in the upper echelon. Fourth Christian, obviously, problem after problem when it came to the start of the year. Things have come together a little bit. Obviously, Gigliotta, you know, is a talented quarterback, and Tucker Ashford is one of the best guys we've seen on a defensive standpoint. Kind of gives me vibes of All Saints defensive line guy that we used to watch back in the day. Why do I always forget his name? 2022 defensive line guy.
Robert Sanders?
Yeah, Robert Sanders.
Yes.
Gives me the same vibes of just that grit and that absolute, like, go-get-it mentality. Which is ironic because I think All Saints does take it in this one over Fourth Christian. Not by 3 scores, though. I think that's absolutely crazy. I got to give more credit to Fourth Christian and the rivalry that's in this game.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I'm going to be honest with you. I can really easily see this being a 2-3 score game.
Maybe. And I'm usually one that says that. I just think there's too much to this game, right?
That is true. We did say this about, I think, something similar about Antonian Central Catholic. And then it was a 1-point game that Antonio had to walk off. It'll be interesting.
I think, like, in the first time they played, right, in the regular season, this game was closer at the half, and then it kind of extended out in the second half. I could see this kind of happening again in this situation as well.
The only thing I was going to say is that field in general, like that vibe, whatever, I mean, that's like Burrville ISD
yep.
Stadium. I don't know, man. Some of those Fourth Christian kids used to play on that field back in the day as their home turf.
Like, yeah, both. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of those. Yeah, a couple of them, I think, came from Burrville, so that does make sense.
Right, and, right. Yeah. I don't know. Just something to think about.
And I want to say one last thing. I guess this is more better for the recap episode, but I'm going to say it now because it's on the top of my head. And before the season, I said I think Gavin Parkhurst is a better fit than the former quarterback Keldon Ryan, and y'all called me crazy. And I just want to say, am I still?
I've been saying that since the beginning of the season.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have.
No, you didn't.
Oh my! Are you pull the tape? Somebody pull the tape.
Dude, no context, just got so much content there. Oh my
No, I
goodness.
promise.
Where
Dude,
was that?
I told the All Saints people this when I went there week one.
Oh my
You
gosh.
took
The
that take
Gavin
from me
Parkhurst
then.
glaze, dude. Dude, let's chill out. God,
Fine.
Kelvin Ryan was a great quarterback. Why are we doing this? Kelvin Ryan is very good.
That
Yes.
being said, I called Walker crazy for something. I swear, I don't know if I said it on the
Dude.
program, but I can go back to people I told
Oh
this
my
to.
God,
I'll
dude.
find it. I'll find
Gavin
it.
Parkhurst, man.
We'll
Wow.
see. You could have. The only thing I can think of is you
I
could have
gotta take
said better, and I would have
Gavin.
called you crazy. But a better fit Parkhurst is, I think.
Yeah, too much glaze going on. I mean, this has just got it. I mean, I
Stop saying
appreciate
that
it.
word. Move on. I
Appreciate it.
hate that word.
Appreciate it.
Moving
No, I mean, it's
on.
like let's move on from the
It's
school.
Gen
We
Alpha brain rot. I
seem
will not
like we
have it on
have
this
mob
program.
ties to this school. We have to move on. We
Moving
have to move on. This
on. This podcast is just
Oh my
communal
God.
brain rot at this
Oh.
point. Let us move. What is that? In the same, make a lateral move in
Oh
Division
yeah.
II, St. Joseph's Academy versus Second Baptist, where Second Baptist is a 28.5, which is just an insane spread.
Yeah.
This is not a situation I expected to see in the second round. Following an absolute thrashing of Lutheran South in round one, Claudio Torres and St. Joseph's advanced to meet Cannon Toon and Second this Friday in San Antonio. This is an MVP level season that we are seeing from Claudio Torres. 2,900 total yards, 39 touchdowns. This is the definition of a playmaker. He accounted for 350 of St. Joe's 400 rushing yards, and behind Diego de la Cruz and Jesus Osio, the Bloodhounds are going to try and run over Second Baptist. But that's easier said than done with Bryce Butler and Cash Harris roaming the middle. And Cannon Toon and Alan Thomas and Langston Davis will get theirs as well. Let's use Lutheran South as a common opponent. St. Joe's beat them 40-14. Second Baptist beat them 28-3. That's a 25 versus a 26-point victory. There's not a whole lot you can tell from right there. Do you know what? We haven't given Claudio Torres his flowers this season. And I'm going to do that right now. Torres, 300 yards, Bloodhounds victory. Put it in the books. I will fall on this sword if necessary. We have not spoken about Claudio Torres enough. If anyone is going to lead St. Joseph's to a victory here, it's going to be Claudio Torres in his senior season. I can live with being on the wrong side of this game, taking St. Joe's. I can't live with not picking him and missing out on that. I'm taking St. Joe's. I'm going to be the biggest Bloodhound fan on the planet come Saturday, assuming the game's Saturday. Let's ride.
Wow. Now that's crazy. Okay. You see, I'm trying to figure out, do I follow my heart or do I follow my brain, right? Because logically, I know what Ryan Schroeder's about to pick. I know it. I feel it. I see it in his eyes. I could pick the opposite, go with the gut, take a chance, and maybe pull out this would be the defining win for me winning the pick record. But I can't, I'm gonna pick my heart and I'm gonna go Brownsville with you, man. This is gonna be
Oh no.
this is gonna be unbelievable. And I know just they do both are doing the drive. I
Oh
don't think
my
Second
God.
Baptist has made a
Oh
drive to San
my
Antonio like this before.
God.
I think they get the win here. I love Claudio Torres. Watching that film is electric. With Cisneros back there as well, I think they get the win. These past couple of weeks, Second Baptist is just confusing me, and I'm confused. I apologize to our intern Andrea. I gotta pick against you and your team. Give me the Bloodhounds.
This was my pick. This was
Okay,
my pick.
dude, so ironic, so ironic.
No, don't. We cannot take St. Joseph.
No. That's what I'm about to tell you. Just let me talk. All right. Gosh. No, what I was gonna say is I obviously acted like the St. Joe's like diehard last week, the whole list, the whole everything I had situated. I mean, everything I had situated on St. Joe's, I believed it truly. I thought they were good enough to beat LSA. They're not good enough to beat Second Baptist, though.
Ooh.
They're not good enough to, I mean, think about it from this perspective. I'm about to use the Regents game as the most comp game I can find between what I think Second Baptist is. Second Baptist and Regents are very comp in my head because of the fact of just the Jack Devine aspect with the Blake Smith and all, everything into Cannon Tune and Allen Thomas. Everything feels pretty cohesive to what they have at both areas. And then on the same side, the defensive side, they seem pretty comparable as well. With that being said, when Regents and St. Joe's played, for those who don't know, this is like the third week of the year, something like that. Regents won 49-14. In that game, Claudio Torres had 13 carries for 53 yards. They gave him the rock 13 times, and he could only get 4.1 yards per carry. He's not done that the rest of the year. Every single time the rest of the year, he's gotten the rock way past that. He's going for it. They knew that they had to stop Claudio Torres as soon as they got there. And if you don't think Second Baptist is going to do the exact same and try to stop Claudio Torres,
what do you think Lutheran South thought?
Lutheran South is just not built how Regents is built. It's not built how Second Baptist
this is
built.
True. St. Joseph's and Second beat Lutheran South by almost the exact same amount.
But Second Baptist has a way better defense than Lutheran South does. Second Baptist is way more comparable. Second Baptist is truly in the upper echelon of D2, regardless of some of their losses they had this year. Like, they're a title contender. Like, that's what people have been saying this entire time. We are people, you know? Like, so with that being said, Claudio Torres is going to get shut down. They know how to play the defense against him. I don't think 53 yards. No one's stopping him to 53 yards like Regents did. But it's going to be under 100 again, and it's going to be the deciding factor in this game. Give me Second Baptist. Give me Cannon Tune. Give me Allen Thomas. Give me company. Give me Second Baptist. It's an Eagle party this weekend.
Well, it's better than other types of parties that have been circulating. But that that's going to be a fun game to watch. I actually am legitimately really, really excited for how that game turns out. I don't know.
I apologize. I apologize, Wes, for taking your sunshine right there.
That's fine.
Stealing his thunder?
Yeah,
stealing my thunder a little bit. That's fine. A lot of that is a vibes pick. And that literally is kind of my reaction, is that I can live with losing by not picking Second Baptist. I have to be on the right side of Regents if they win not Lutheran South, St. Joseph, if they win this game. We cover so many dadgum teams, they're all gumming together in my head. Once you get to week 13, I start to lose my mind, as you can tell,
and
on
lose
this episode so far.
Too, so it's gonna work, so.
No, there's certainly still time in that. I actually don't even know the record of the pick record. We'll figure that out at some point. We're two
tied.
More games. There we go. Two more games, so I don't lose my mind. Two more games. The Woodlands Christian Academy versus Fort Bend. Fort Bend is a 14.5-point favorite. Staying in the Division II South, we see yet another rematch. FBCA bested TWCA 35-17 2 weeks ago, en route to six straight wins to close out an undefeated district slate. Junior Cole Whidden has stepped in at quarterback for the Eagles and knows how to get it to one of the best wideouts in the state in Blake Hamilton. That man can fly. Whidden is also more than a capable rusher with 104 yards on the ground the last time these teams faced off. Tyler Curry and Nico Lara will anchor a defense that quietly allowed under 16 points per game in district play. However, they have to beat Santiago Fernandez and Bo Ellis for a second time in 3 weeks. I stated that if Fernandez could rush the ball effectively, that could be the key to winning that game. Well, he went for 137 off 18 carries, and they still lost that game. I'm going to flip that concept on its head. This game will be won or lost based off the Warriors' defense. Only one sack and two tackles for loss the entire contest the last time these teams faced off. We have to see Grayson Boker and Prince Holiday pin their ears back and play with their hair on fire if they do not want to go home. But I'm not betting it's Fort Bend Christian in this matchup again. It's another team that I've bet against all season, and I got proven wrong and proven wrong and proven wrong. I'm not in the spot. I love Santiago Fernandez. I love Bo Ellis. I love Grayson Boker. I also love Cole Whidden, Blake Hamilton, Tyler Curry, and Nico Lara. I think this game's close. not really surprising anyone by saying that. I think I would take TWCA to cover a 14.5-point spread. It's just something about Fort Bend Christian in November. Don't ask me what it is. Crazy things happen. I think the ghost of Brady Dever leads the Eagles to another deep playoff run. Walker Lot, your thoughts?
So much Clays.
Stop saying that.
Man, I think you're absolutely right. That not getting pressure on Cole Wennon really changed that game. And I think a big play of that is that off the line for Fort Bend Christian, Ian Harper was absolutely locked down at tackle in that game. And him and the rest of the offensive line played a huge role in that. So I wanted to shout him out. I didn't get to do the headshot, but he played fantastically in that one. That's the question, right? Can Prince Holiday, Grayson Boker and company really lock down this offense? You know, Cole Whitten is putting more and more film out there. Can they kind of find a way or two to finally stop him? But I don't think they do. I think there's a reason that he wasn't stopped last game. He hasn't been stopped in district. I think he gets the win out here, and Fort Bend Christian moves on to the semifinals.
Ryan Schroeder, are you going to make it three on the side of Fort Bend Christian?
So exactly what y'all said is true around everything revolving the line, the lines on both sides, right? So the defensive line giving pressure on Santiago Fernandez versus the defensive line on Woodlands giving pressure on Cole Whitten. Like, that's truly how I see things in this aspect, and I see, and that's how I think the game was won last time. I don't really know how to say this guy's name, but Jonah Kalu, I hope is how you say it. Jonah Kalu, defensive end for, you know, Fort Bend Christian. Obviously, he's been putting up numbers this year on the defensive side. And in the last time they played, he had three sacks, and also is just this year has been absolutely incredible on that defensive line, as well as the other guys on that in that same game on the defensive line with make sure I get these names exactly right. Trace Holster, Tyler Curry, you know, Nicholas Lara, you know, whether it be the linebackers or the DNs on that one, guys who have just been absolutely putting pressure the entire time on Santiago Fernandez, which truly made things tough for him, even though he still went for 232 yards. And I think, as you can see in the past game, Cole Whitten was the leader in passing yards and rushing yards. And the same for TWCA. It was, you know, Santiago Fernandez was the leader in passing yards and rushing yards. Like, these teams are pretty comparable in the way that they run their offenses, basically through their rushing quarterbacks being a dual threat. With that being said, though, I've seen Fort Bend Christian, obviously, with some great wins this year. Absolutely going undefeated in district is something that I would have never expected. I'm going to go Fort Bend Christian here. I think things have turned a certain way. I think the defense is way more stout than the Woodlands Christian defense is, especially from what I just gave the hype to. Give me Fort Bend Christian. I almost switched back over to Woodlands, but give me Fort Bend Christian in this game.
It's going to be close regardless. I don't know. I don't bet against Fort Bend Christian in November. You say the G word one more time, I will kick you off.
I mean,
podcast.
That one's pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
What
in
do you
November,
mean it's pretty bad? It's
in
it's
November.
The
in November, I mean, gosh.
What do you mean in November?
No, I just, like, we didn't have to. You could have just said they've been a good team. I mean, I get it. The playoff. I get it. The playoff run.
Walker, is that a crazy thing to say?
No. I get it. Okay, sorry.
It's not crazy to say they're good in November. I do think there was a little bit of glaze towards.
Stop saying that word.
It's not even like that. You could have just said they're a playoff caliber team from behind.
Yeah. We love Brady Dever on this podcast.
So, yeah, no, just one of those things. No, we can move on. Sorry.
Moving on. The final game that we have to cover before this podcast unravels to be doing rapidly.
I think we're going to have to go to therapy as the three of us and, like, talk through some stuff maybe.
We,
I don't know.
We need polyamorous couples therapy because there's three of us.
What?
We'll see if that makes the final
cut.
Legacy Christian versus Antonian. Antonian is a 0.5-point favorite in this game. You know, if I see a Division I North versus South matchup in the second round, we're previewing it. Antonian was a perfect 7-0 in district play, in large part from a 30-touchdown season from sophomore quarterback Rogan Parson. 150 rushing yards per game from running back Mikey Moreno and 15 touchdowns from wide receiver Preston Jones.
The Legacy front will also have their hands full with 6'5", 225 defensive lineman Joe Carrion. However, Legacy has hit their stride with dual-threat quarterback Luke Lawrence, averaging 38 points per game since his takeover against teams not named Liberty Christian. Sam Jones is also a bad dude. The junior leads the team in tackles per game, and he is third in total sacks and total touchdowns and passing touchdowns with one. Prestonwood transfer defensive end Marshall Tucker has also made an impact in the backfield with 16 quarterback hurries. We know the storylines. Legacy plays in a much more competitive district. Let's look at Antonian's schedule. They got run off the field by Holy Cross and Regents, in their only two losses. The 10-point win over Concordia doesn't look good after what Lynch just did to them last week. The 27-point win over St. Thomas is pretty good. And the 1-point win over Central Catholic isn't convincing after Legacy beat them by two touchdowns, albeit that was a rivalry game that was close. I have made my strategy in this situation known, and I'm going to continue to stick with it. The North beats the South in these spots. Fly, Eagles, fly. I understand that Antonian was 7-0 in their district. That district is also not nearly as good as District 1 in Division 1. I will say that my strategy technically is with teams with equal resumes that match up North versus South, I'm taking the North. This is a little different. Antonian was the undefeated district champions. Legacy went, what, not 4-3, like 2-3, 3-2, something
two
like
and,
that.
2-4 in district, I believe.
2-4 in district. I think the North is that much better than the South. I really do, especially after watching what Lynch did to Concordia round one. I'm betting the strategy until the wheels fall off the buggy. Give me Legacy Christian.
Wow. This is a battle of two really good 27 quarterbacks in TXPS in Luke Lawrence and Rogan Parson. When I saw Antonian earlier in the season, I really thought, when I saw them against Regents, they just hadn't put it together. And then later on in district, they have absolutely put it together. You see what they're doing now. Just dominance week in and week out. I think, yes, I think this game is going to be close. As you saw last week with with Central Catholic, they're a good team. Frisco Legacy is a great team. I just think they go down to San Antonio, and I don't think they can do it again. Give me the Apaches in this one. I think Rogan Parson becomes a top quarterback in TAPS D1 and all of TAPS. I think he proves to be a top one. I think he can be the best quarterback in 27 in TAPS. I think he's that legit. And with the weapons around him, I think they get the win. We talk always about offensive line, and the offensive line for Antonian is experienced and good. And I think he handles this defensive line. I think they get the win. I think, Rogan Parson proves to be one of the best quarterbacks in all of TAPS. And I think they get on to the semifinals. So go Apaches. Go have some fun there. I might be at this one. I don't know yet, but definitely we'll have someone covering out that game. Wes or Ryan, we kind of know what you're gonna pick, but are you gonna ride with your boys?
The one thing I will say, and the one really negative part of the situation, is the fact that they have to go to San Antonio from Frisco in back-to-back weeks. That is that's back-to-back San Antonio trips. That's a
really
long
quickly.
Way.
Why are we having home games in the second round of the playoff? I understand San Antonian's technically their first game. I don't ever remember there being home games in the second round.
It's whatever they think they choose. It's probably just easier to do it that way. Maybe. I don't know. Because, yes, you are right. It is neutral site in round two. But remember last year in the semifinals, St. Thomas hosted Prestonwood in the semifinals. So it's probably whatever's easiest for those schools.
Do they come to your city, though? They have to come to your city. Is that still technically true? No, they can meet the middle, too.
I think so, but where are you going to meet Waco? And probably every place is already booked in Waco for all the UIL.
That's fair. Also, obviously, this just gives away more of an advantage to Antonian. But let's get into the actual you know, besides the travel, which I know will be a thing, I obviously want to give my flowers to Luke Lawrence. Luke Lawrence has stepped into the spot when necessary. As Ian Pulte went out, Luke Lawrence has truly stepped up to the end of the slate. You know, obviously becoming the dual threat guy that he is has been really, really impressive. As well as Garrett Sims, for that same matter, has also been was also impressive in the game against Central Catholic. I have to talk about Jackson Ladd. Literally the definition of Mr. Tackle on our defense. You know, Jackson Ladd has been really tough all year long. Three TFLs in that Central Catholic game is also super impressive. And with all that being said, obviously got to give Jack Drygas his flowers from now on, our kicker. Even though he didn't kick a field goal, he kicked six extra points, and that'll always be something I hit on from here on out because I didn't give him enough flowers throughout the season. But that being said, Antonian is also a team that will be bigger than Legacy, right? Antonian, as Walker has seen in person, they are a more stout team. Their offensive line is bigger. Overall, the team from a looks perspective, from the eye test, looks like the better team. However, a small, scrappy, and a truly motivated squad in Holy Cross went into Antonian or went against Antonian and basically gave them probably one of the worst games on paper that you would have ever would have thought for Antonian, right? Not saying that we're Holy Cross by any means, but I think the same principles still apply. Luke Lawrence and Garrett Sims and Jackson Ladd and, you know, Jake Olson, the rest of these guys are a scrappy group of guys. I think the will to win, the coaching and all that from this perspective has been super impressive all year long. And then overall, the number one factor, they play in a much harder district. The D1 South is downright probably one of the worst it's ever been this year. There's no standout team. There's no Houston St. Thomas or Antonian that's fully stood out by themselves. It's very, very comparable, and I don't really know if I like that. I think the competitive of the North is more competitive than it's ever been, and I think the teams are way better than they ever been in the North. And in that same vein, the South looks even worse. Give me Legacy. But the only paraphernalia I have would be this Legacy Christian Academy coffee cup and this Legacy Christian Academy coaster because of I don't have anything here from high school. Because I'm not trying to glaze my own high school, but there you
Stop
go.
saying that.
Crazy Christian Academy stuff is here to stay. But sorry, long-winded way of saying, but I feel like it was necessary. This is a huge game, huge implications. Put them in the semifinals. We talked about this weeks before about how the route for Legacy is kind of easy in some capacity. You obviously still have to get past the Preston Wood and Parrish game next week, but it is crazy that this is how they ended up.
That it is. This game, among every game we've mentioned so far, will be very fun. I feel like this is one of the more coin flips. I think it's that and then Prestonwood Parish are probably two of the games that I'm like, you put a gun to my head and say pick a team, I might die. Like I really don't know who I'm gonna go with. But we had to make picks regardless. All five of these games will be very fun. We will pick every game that is going on and give a brief commentary on every game that happened whenever we come back to these on Monday. As always, this is the content that we have for this episode. We thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Monday in the recap. See you later.